This is KRCU's Going Public. I'm Dan Woods. We're joined in the studio today by Dr. Mike Goddard. He's the provost here at Southeast Missouri State University. Dr. Goddard, Mike, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Dan. Pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here. So if you would, just since your first time with us in studio, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so interestingly, I've been here at Southeast now for one full year, serving as provost, and time kind of flies. If I would have predicted that that's how my first year would have went the way that it went, with a pandemic and everything else going on, never could have guessed it, but have enjoyed all my experiences thus far here at Southeast. I came here, I'm not new to Missouri, I came here from a town called Warrensburg, Missouri, where the University of Central Missouri is located, and I spent 7 years at the University of Central Missouri in a variety of different roles, served as a chairperson, was a vice provost, and then my last year and a half there, I was the interim provost there, again, for 18 months. And when the opportunity arose here at Southeast, I saw a lot of similarities. I had good relationships built up in the state, and I knew that President Vargas and I shared a lot of the same philosophies and a lot of the same passions. And it's been a great fit thus far, and so happy to be here still serving at Southeast, even though it looks and feels a little bit differently than what it's been a year ago.
Yeah, and what's been interesting, I guess, during all of this is there's no playbook, really, for the type of situations that have been popping up.
No, there's really not. You know, I'm so proud of our faculty and our students for what they did middle of the spring semester and really transitioning to a complete online remote environment. And with that, you know, provided us a lot of opportunities to learn and experience kind of different ways of instruction, but a lot of challenges along the way as well. So I think all those things will benefit us as we move into the fall semester of 2020.
So for folks who may not know, what does a provost do?
So, yeah, that's excellent. I always ask students that, too. Do you even know what a provost is and what they do?
Yeah.
My role is really here at the university as the chief academic officer. So I oversee all of academic programs and services at the institution. So anything related to curriculum, accreditation of our academic programs. So all the academic colleges, including the library, including extended studies, which includes Southeast Online, dual credit, our regional campuses, all that is under my areas of responsibility. So quality academic experiences and making sure that our faculty have the tools and resources that they need for our students to be successful is my primary role and responsibility. So I really look at my role as being a facilitator, being someone who can be a resource to make sure that those things occur so that our students have the quality experience that we want them to have.
So what are some of the goals that you have for academic affairs?
Yeah, you know, one of them I know we'll kind of branch into a little bit as we move forward in our conversation today, Dan, but really looking comprehensively at what we do and how we do it in academic affairs. And by that, I mean, what programs and services are we offering our students? Where is the demand for that? And demand really takes in a couple of shapes and forms. It's really demand of students saying that I'm interested in that discipline, in that program. And then the other part of that demand is really the workforce needs and demands of Southeast Missouri, statewide, nationally, and globally. Where are those needs and those demands in terms of the workforce? And so we're really, one of my goals is to take a real comprehensive look at our academic programs and prioritize what we're doing and how we're doing it and make sure that we're certainly meeting the needs, but also doing it in a efficient and sustainable manner. Some other things, really we're looking to make sure that we provide leadership to our academic programs. We actually have 9 academic programs this upcoming year that will go through reaccreditation for their programs.
Wow.
And so that's a big deal. And people who don't understand kind of what that accreditation looks like, people may recall that last year we went through the Higher Learning Commission reaccreditation, which is the university-wide regional accrediting body, to make sure that we can still keep our doors open, quite honestly. Yeah. And then there are program-specific or academic-specific accreditations that take place as well. And so we, like I said, we have 9 of those coming up this year, which continues to just demonstrate the strength of our academic offerings that we have here at Southeast. So that'll be one of our big goals, is to make sure that we're successful going through each and every one of those reaccreditations coming up. And so they're kind of varied in each college. One of the big ones that we have is the Association to Advance Collegiate Schools of Business. It's called AACSB. That's coming up this year. So it really, it provides the accreditation for all of our business programs that we have on campus. Our network of international business schools also is coming up. It's called NIBS. And then we have others kind of throughout the academic offerings, nursing, dietetics, music, chemistry, sport management. I mean, all those are coming up this coming year. And I think I probably left one off. Recreation and park administration is the other one. So very busy year in terms of that. But again, we're well positioned to be successful going through those.
With this move to, we talked about this a little bit, the move to online learning. I know it's not a new thing. It's been happening. We did it sort of in the middle of the pandemic in March or so and shifted everything. So what challenges and opportunities does that present as it's more, it's on a larger scale, I guess, now?
Yeah, we are expanding a little bit moving into the fall, some of our online offerings. We're doing it for a lot of reasons. Number one, we do have some demands. We have several 100% online programs, and so we're seeing some growth in some of those, and we want to be able to meet that growth. But then we do have some other areas of opportunity to engage with students who want to learn in other modes of delivery, such as online. And so we want to be able to meet those as well. Southeast Online, which is our division that really helps us oversee that, which is under our extended studies area, where Dean Nathan Bullock oversees that area. We're looking to expand in those areas, like I mentioned before, that are high demand and that there's workforce needs. And so we want to be able to provide that flexible learning opportunity for our students. And one of the ways to do that is online. We do know with the global pandemic that's going on that social distancing is important. And so we are looking to make sure that we provide guidance and guidelines as we look to offer our face-to-face classes in the fall. And as a result, as we look at all those offerings, we are likely shifting some, not a lot, but some of those face-to-face over to online. We have heard from a large majority of our students that they prefer, a large majority of them do prefer the face-to-face interaction. And I would say a lot of our faculty prefer that as well. But we just need to make sure that we're going to do it in a safe manner as we move into the fall. And so we're looking very closely at that.
Yeah. Because there, I mean, there are some classes, I guess, that are more easily online, and some, it's more of a challenge to do it, right? I mean, depending on the class, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly have some in the visual and performing arts that are difficult to do online. And kudos again to our faculty for finding creative ways to do that during the second half of the spring semester of last academic year. And then we have some labs, some science labs and other types of experiences that, not impossible, because technology has really advanced over the past several years in terms of virtual learning and ways in which we can use animation to be able to still have the types of experiences that we want our students to have. But those hands-on experiences are really important, and that experiential learning is really important to us at Southeast, and so we want to make sure that we're just aware of that and making sure that we're consistent with the academic quality that we're offering our students.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Mike Goddard. He's the provost here at Southeast Missouri State University. So let's shift a little bit and talk about program prioritization. We know it, maybe folks that have been around a while may know it's program review, but talk about that process. I know there's a lot that goes into that. That particular process.
Yeah, and this one is going to look a little different and feel a little bit different, because usually when we do program reviews, each academic program gets reviewed on a five-year cycle. What we're going to take on this year, and it's a very aggressive goal, but one in which I think is important for us to take on as a unit in academic affairs, but across the institution, is to look at a more holistic view of all of the majors, all of the options, all of the minors at both the undergraduate and graduate levels. And again, I think by looking at that very holistically, we can make some real strategic decisions on how to best move forward to meet those needs of our students and those workforce needs. We have a lot of options. And oftentimes in higher education, and this is not unique to Southeast Missouri State University, but in higher education, we do a great job adding to. We oftentimes don't do a great job of looking at things that perhaps were not, they're not as relevant anymore.
Things change, right?
Yeah, things change. And so we need to look at ways in which we can be more efficient and sustainable at what we're offering, how we're offering it. And I will tell you, you know, in the times that we find ourselves in terms of budgetary constraints, again, not unique to Southeast Missouri State. But certainly when we look at that, we want to be able to appropriately allocate resources to our academic programs and not necessarily dilute that down with things in which perhaps aren't as relevant anymore and things change, like you said, Dan, and we would just want to make sure that we're very responsive and strategic on how we best utilize those resources, because ultimately we have to be good stewards of those and we want to make sure that we do that in a very thoughtful manner.
And it's a situation where the budget, I know, is always something that's baked into the decision-making process, but maybe a program that 10 years ago was fantastic, 5 years ago was, it's okay still during the review, but now maybe things have just changed so much that while it's a good idea, it's just not as much in demand, I guess.
Yeah, and I will say part of this process is to make sure that we, through this holistic view, is to enhance those programs that we have some growth potential for, and there's workforce needs and demands. We need to be able to devote adequate resources to those programs so that we can enhance them and strategically grow some of those programs. So this isn't all about taking away. It's more about making sure that we allocate things appropriately. So there will be some taking away, but there will be some adding to as well, and making sure that it's a collaborative process. So this will really start at the departmental level. This will start at the level in which we have the experts in the area. We have the faculty there. And then it'll go from the departments to the college, from the college to the university level, and eventually to my office, where I'll be able to review those recommendations and then discuss that with the president, you know, for some final determinations that will be made and ultimately likely some Board of Regents actions as a result of that. So our timeline is, again, quite aggressive, but we've already started the process in terms of providing the data and the resources that we need to the academic areas, and we hope to have this process completed by December.
That's a very, I'm guessing, data-driven process.
Very much so. And so we work closely with institutional research here at the university to provide that data. We've spent a lot of time working with the budget office to look at course level cost data, to look at those program metrics. And a lot of what we do is also we have guidance from the state, from the Department of Higher Education at the state, in terms of some benchmarks that they expect us to meet with our academic programs and our offerings with number of graduates per year, for an example. Mm-hmm. So we have to be sensitive to those benchmarks as well and make sure that we're, again, meeting those needs across the state.
Let's spend a little time talking about HyFlex. So what is HyFlex?
You know, HyFlex is a very flexible way for students to engage in a course. So we're piloting a program this coming fall semester where we're going to offer about 100 sections of HyFlex courses. And really what that means is you can engage in it face-to-face, kind of butts in seat in a classroom.
Okay.
You can engage in it synchronously via a technology such as Zoom, which we're all very comfortable with now.
I've learned how to use Zoom. We moved
into telework.
Right.
A lot of people did.
Yeah.
So synchronously through Zoom, and then also asynchronously as well through an online delivery, and oftentimes asynchronously in terms of recording that Zoom lecture and then having that available to students. So students can ebb and flow out of, 1 week I'm going to be face-to-face sitting in the classroom. The next week I'm going to take it synchronously but remote via Zoom. And the next week I might do it asynchronously because my work schedule dictates that I can't physically be there in the class and can't physically be available for the synchronous portion. So I'm going to do it asynchronously. So it's really a very, very flexible way for our students to get the instructional content, and they can, again, ebb and flow out of each one of those three modes.
It's a very interesting concept.
Yeah. You know, HyFlex is something that's been around for about a decade. But it originally started in master's degree cohort-based models.
Okay.
And we have over the years in higher education, we being higher education, has really started to think differently. And I will say, as we go, as you go through a global pandemic and you have to look at more ways in delivering content to students, this is a great way for us to do it. And we're excited about this pilot phase. And if it goes well, we could see ourselves expanding it even beyond the approximately 100 sections that we're going to do this fall.
Because I guess there's always going to be the need and the desire by students to be on campus in many cases. So they could still be on campus, but maybe it's really cold. I don't want to walk across campus, so I'll just do the class a different during that day, do it a different way.
Right. Or, you know, you have family constraints sometimes if you're, you know, not a traditional college student, or even if you are a traditional college student. And a lot of our students work. And so we do find that this is going to provide a lot of flexibility for traditional, non-traditional students. And God forbid if someone was ill and they couldn't physically be in class, it still provides them the opportunity to stay engaged, stay on track in that course, not fall behind, and be able to, you know, perform at the level that they want to perform in that course.
In many ways, it's sort of the best of all worlds. You can do what works for you in that particular time frame.
Yeah. So, again, a real exciting opportunity for us at Southeast and something that we want to be able to provide to our students.
So let's talk a little. We got a few minutes left. I'd like to talk about technology. There's been a learning curve for some of us, like me. I'm talking about me, like learning how to use Zoom, which I'd never really used. And in this particular case, with faculty, some of them may have already been up to speed on a lot of this, but are they learning some of this new technology too to teach?
Yeah, they are. And, you know, again, we have a lot of our faculty members who they just took it and ran with it, and everything was fine. But what we've done is to make sure that through our Center for Teaching and Learning that we're actually providing those types of trainings for our faculty to make sure that they are up to speed. You know, we're a Microsoft campus as well, so Microsoft Teams and OneDrive and all those things, trying to provide trainings on those, certainly Zoom. And then we've always used, for our learning management system, for our LMS, we've always used Moodle. We're going to be transitioning this coming academic year into a different learning management system. It won't take effect until the spring of 2021, because we are going to implement it through the fall semester and provide appropriate training. But we're excited that we're going to bring on that new LMS. It's called Canvas. And with it comes some other tools and resources that I think our faculty and students are really going to enjoy. So another piece of technology.
Yeah, and so that's the software where course materials are there, the syllabus is there. I guess the instructors put grades. Everything's sort of in that system, right?
Yeah, and it's going to be an opportunity to do more video types of things with that as well. It's all integrated into this now. And not to say that Moodle doesn't have some of those capabilities, but I think Canvas kind of steps it up one notch above that, and very mobile friendly. We know not all of our students have a laptop, and they do everything on their phone. So it'll be very mobile friendly for our students to be able to engage that way. Again, we're excited about it. We really vetted this through the campus. Students had their input with it. Faculty had their input. We brought different vendors on campus, and this was clearly the top choice of all students, students in general and faculty in general. Can't say all, but students in general and faculty in general, this was their top choice.
So technology's really been put to the front, especially with the pandemic. And I guess this also brings up the idea of a lot of folks don't have access to broadband. That's something I know that's an issue, especially some rural areas in Southeast Missouri.
Right.
You know,
and we were fortunate to have some partners in the Southeast Missouri region who stepped up and basically offered our students, if they needed it, free broadband access for a couple of months there during the pandemic when we were doing online remote learning. And we're really thankful for those individuals, especially in the Boot Hill region where it is challenged. I do know that Governor Parson is, that's a priority of his, and he sees that as a need in terms of some of those desert areas where you just don't have that access. And we've learned through that process as well, and thinking, God forbid if we ever had to go through something like that again where we had to shift to online remote again, what would we do differently and what resources could we provide our students to make sure that they had what they needed. I think we did a pretty good job. It was a team effort. The library kind of stepped up. Southeast Online stepped up. Center for Teaching and Learning, certainly. IT here on campus stepped up. Yeah. Everyone did their part to make sure. Dean of Students Office stepped up to make sure that students' needs were met. But it is a need of our state. It certainly is. And we are in a region of the state that perhaps it's even more of a need than others. And so making sure that that broadband internet access is there. And then K through 12 experienced the same thing this year when they went through it.
Dr. Mike Goddard is the provost here at Southeast Missouri State University. Mike, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Dan. It was my pleasure.